Good morning. It's Thursday. We're headed back down the mountain. It's August the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. It's our wake-up call. I'm waking up too. So let's begin this morning with consecration. You know, going down the mountain's a completely different set of muscles than going up. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you, Jesus, as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes as I'm praying that prayer of consecration, I just kind of envision myself down on the ground, on my knee, tying my shoe. And as I get the shoe tied, I think, okay, let's do it. Let's invite the Lord to fill this temple. And as I rise up from my knees, I'm rising up from the dead into the light that Jesus is shining in, around, throughout myself and you, with you, and we're ready to move. Tie in your shoes. Okay, today's entry is entitled, The Vision is Jesus. Our text, Acts chapter 26, verses 19 through 24. Hear now the word of the Lord. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. You are out of your mind, Paul, he shouted. Your great learning is driving you insane. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Vision has become a big concept in the world of leadership. It's created an entire industry of gurus and buzzwords and best practices. There's vision casting and visioneering and vision framing and visionary leaders who lead visionary organizations. He's a visionary, people will say about some leaders. Some have said it about me. Then we get to mission statements and onward to strategies and objectives and goals and tactics and core values. And before you know it, we need a couple of bishops or a consultant or an army of them to sort everything out again. All of this finds its way into our businesses, organizations, and yes, churches. As relates to the church, there is a slightly major corrective I'd like to propose in this whole conversation. Too often, the idea of a vision means the leader's latest, greatest ideas and plans for the church. Heck, it can mean the church's latest, greatest ideas and plans for the church. These are often great ideas, unless they're not, and they may help fulfill the vision, but we should not consider them our vision. The church, really every organization, needs visionary leaders, but of a different sort. We don't need leaders who have a vision, but leaders who can see the vision and whose primary charism or gift is that of helping others to see it too. That's what Paul is saying in today's text. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. Paul speaks of the vision from heaven. It makes sense, doesn't it? The most fundamental prayer Jesus taught us to pray was, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. And what does that vision look like? Well, thanks for asking. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. I'm saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Didn't Jesus say something like that? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's Acts 1:8. The vision is Jesus. And I don't mean Jesus in the Sunday schoolish reductionistic manner. I mean Jesus in an ever expansive fashion. The vision is Jesus, his kingdom, and his righteousness. The vision is not just Jesus as Savior, but Jesus as Lord. The vision is not just Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but Jesus from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. As we behold the vision of Jesus, we become the vision of Jesus. And then others can begin to glimpse the vision. Jesus is the icon of the Father. And by the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we become the icon of Jesus in the world. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. Jesus is the vision from heaven. Closing, a vision is not all the stuff we're going to do for Jesus. It is Him manifesting Himself through our lives in the world. Can you see Him? Will you let Him become you, which will actually make you become your real self? Now that's a vision. The prayer, that's why we pray the prayer of transformation. Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you. And as you fill my life with your presence, I become like you. It's effortless. Getting there's not easy, but it's not hard once you are Lord. And to that end, I receive, Jesus, your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness. Yes, Jesus, I receive the vision that is you and release all my best laid plans and strategies and objectives and values and all those things. I just release them, Jesus. You come in. You be the vision. Come, Holy Spirit. Transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength that I might become the very love of God, so that my consecration would become your demonstration, that our lives would become your sanctuary. For the glory of God our Father. Amen. For our journal prompts today, what do you think about this distinction between a leader having a vision for the future and seeing the vision from heaven in the present? Which one is the leader you are following now offering? Now, we're going to sing here in a minute. You could predict the hymn we're going to sing today, Be Thou My Vision, one of the greatest hits of all time, Celtic hymn. It's number 49, if you want to get the page held, 49, Be Thou My Vision. But as we go there, I just wanted to just maybe say a bit more about what happens when we see the vision. It's when we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What are we asking God to do? It's really very simple. We're praying that, in fact, you see some of this in the text today, that Jesus is bringing the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Okay, so the first thing that happens, light displaces darkness. Darkness gives way to light. Opening words of God in the Bible, let there be light. The second thing that happens, death is displaced by life. Death gives way to life. That's the interesting thing about John's gospel, opening words. In him was life, and that life was the light of all the world. Look at that, light and life coming together. So it's this movement. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He blows death up. So the vision is darkness becoming light. The vision is death giving way to life. And the third thing, chaos becomes new creation. Again, it's a story in Genesis 1, right? The water, the Spirit hovered over the waters of chaos, and the Word of God began to speak, and the Spirit of God began to interact, and darkness became light, and there was all of the order of new creation coming right out of chaos. Well, that's the same thing God does in his kingdom. He moves into the chaos, into the ruins that are all around us, and he says, new creation. I'm doing a new thing. He says things like, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, right? Do you not perceive it? He asks. Isaiah asks us, I am making a way in the wilderness, right? We want the way. I want the way to be made out of the wilderness. He's like, no, I'm making a way in the wilderness. I'm bringing streams in the desert, right where you are. You're standing in ruins. Where you see ruins, I see foundations. Yeah. That's the vision. And the vision is not something we can do. Jesus does it. He can do it. Now he's looking. He's looking. No, he's not looking to rent space. He's looking to take up ownership in these temples, these bodies of ours together, offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's how he does it. It's miraculous. It's beautiful. It's very human. It's very ordinary often. It's like sowing seeds. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to say today. Now we're going to sing number 49, Be Thou My Vision. We're going to sing all the verses with all we've got. You ready? Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great father, I thy true son. Thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. I, King of heaven, my treasure thou art. I, King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of mine own heart, whatever befalls, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Almost got that too high, didn't I? but we had to take a deeper breath, and we had to lean in, and we had to sing out. I hope you're singing. I know some of you had to go. And I know a lot of you think, I truly don't sing. I'm like, well, I'm here to end all that. You know what? You're making, there's something about singing, whether you think you can sing or not, that takes us to a place. Dan Wilt always says, songs are places we go. And that's why we're singing. All right, guys, did you get that today? This is what you're doing today as you're sowing. You're displacing darkness with light. You're displacing death with life, and you're displacing chaos with new creation. That's what you're doing. I don't care if you're working, if you're digging a ditch today, if you're doing open heart surgery, if you are changing diapers, if maybe you're working at the church, right? This is not the preacher's job. In fact, the preacher can hardly do it. The preacher's at best a good coach, right? We're trying to coach. You guys are the players, and the darkness is receding as you are impeding. Okay, you like that? The death is going as you are sowing, and the chaos is, come on, help me, Lord. The chaos is disappearing as you are reappearing, as Jesus is reappearing in you. Well, we got to get out there today. The world awaits. Get your seeds. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.